questions about.
BP's case of fuzzy math.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If what BP said to federal regulators before the Gulf of Mexico disaster were true, there wouldn't be much oil left in and around the Gulf. The Deepwater Horizon well exploded on April 20th, but less than a month before that, BP assured federal regulators it could clean up nearly 500,000 gallons a day if there were a spill. The Washington Post reports BP's removed a little more than half of that number in total. Kimberly Kindy wrote the story for the Post. She's with us live from D.C. this morning. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi.
Give us an idea of how much BP overestimated what they could clean up there.
Well, they said they would be able to skim, and that's just skimming alone, over 490,000 barrels a day. And what we're looking at really is closer to about 3,000 barrels a day.
And how did they get that? I mean, that's huge. How did they get it so wrong? Was this malfeasance? Was it, I mean, just incompetency? What was it?
Well, they're not answering any questions about their numbers right now. I've asked them. I showed them my math. The truth is, though, this number was really created in isolation without they didn't go to the company that was going to do the cleanup for them and say, hey, do these numbers square? Can you do this? The federal government didn't challenge them on those numbers at all, didn't ask them to prove they could arrive at those goals.
This is the MMS, right? The Minerals Management Service.
Mineral Management Service, right. Absolutely. So you have them not consulting with the people who they're counting on to do the cleanup to see if the numbers were accurate, and then the federal government, MMS, not asking them, how'd you come up with these numbers? They were thrown into a report in isolation without anybody, it appears, looking at them and definitely not challenging them.
And what could result from this overestimate? I mean, does this mean more lawsuits in the future?
Well, there's a lawsuit already just over these numbers. Earth Justice, Sierra Club, some other groups, Gulf Restoration Network. Whether there'll be more, I don't know. I mean, it definitely continues to put pressure on this effort to reform things. Plans for something this serious, this kind of disaster, They need to be checked and challenged, and they're really looking at there are all kinds of panels that are being put together right now looking at what needs to be done differently. Congress is looking at that. And this, you know, a plan that really reflects reality is something that there's great push for so that the next, if a disaster of this magnitude happens again, they've got a plan that checks with reality.
And very quickly, Kimberly, any plans to ramp up the cleanup down there?
Well, right now, they have this thing called the Whale out there that they're testing. It's a Taiwanese skimmer, 10 stories high. It's gigantic. They're hoping that it can skim as much as 50,000 barrels a day, and that would be a phenomenal change from the 3,000 they're doing
but
right now.
But still just a percentage, a mere percentage of what they had originally anticipated, right?
Absolutely, right. Yeah.
Kimberly Kindy from The Washington Post, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's do the numbers. Investors are trying to get in on some bargains today after an abysmal past couple of weeks. The Dow up now about 1.13%, 128 points at 98.15. The NASDAQ and S&P up both about 1.5%. European shares much higher at the moment, anywhere from 2 to 3%, and Asian shares were higher today as well. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington meeting with President Obama at this hour. Controversy over Jewish settlements in the West Bank, the blockade of Gaza, they're likely to dominate that agenda this hour. One thing that's probably not, Israel's economy, reporter Brett Neely explains.
Israel's troubles appear to have had almost no economic impact. At 7%, unemployment there is lower than in the U.S., and the financial crisis never touched Israeli banks. Glenn Yeago is an economist at the Milken Institute. He says the country's foreign policy turmoil has even helped develop the economy.
The demand for solutions to what were battlefield technologies are easily transferring into civilian uses.
He says that sort of innovation has also transformed agriculture, which was Israel's first big export industry.
It's also not selling tomatoes, but selling tomato seeds and new variants, new seed technologies that increase productivity in agriculture outside of Israel.
The country's thriving export sector sent almost $19 billion worth of goods to the U.S. last year, twice what we sent to Israel. Yeago adds that while Gaza gets all the attention these days, the relatively peaceful Palestinian-controlled West Bank is also experiencing an economic boom. a bit of good news in a part of the world that needs it. I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review. The July-August issue is on newsstands now, featuring an in-depth interview with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
AAA says travel was up 15% this past holiday week, and that means lots of full planes, probably lots of overbooked flights, too. Marketplace's Eve Troe reports federal regulators want to clamp down on the airline's practice of bumping passengers.
Frequent flyer Andrea Valdez has been bumped 9 times.
I consider myself a bit lucky when that happens.
She gets a voucher for a few $100 and even kudos from the flight staff.
Oh my God, we're so thankful.
They should be. If Valdez didn't raise her hand, they'd have to force someone off the plane and pay them up to $800 cash by law.
No, I didn't know that.
Most flyers don't. The Department of Transportation wants to make compensation rules more clear and raise the fee for involuntary bumps to about $1,300. George Hobica runs airfarewatchdog.com. He says that increase now keeps pace with inflation, and it's also a slap on the wrist.
I think what the DOT is trying to say to the airlines is, let's make it more painful for you to bump, and let's do it less.
Hobica says DOT also aims to get airlines to add more flights. They've been holding out because it's cheaper to hand out vouchers than fly with empty seats. DOT's proposal is open for public comment until August 6th. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, the American Library Association says there's a trend among libraries to put more branches in consumer-friendly places. They're smaller, they don't need as many staffers, and they offer do-it-yourself convenience. Well, branches have popped up in cafes, grocery stores, even operating in shopping malls, a quiet respite from the hustle and bustle. So you can stop and check out some Shakespeare on your way to Orange Julius. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.